AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we begin to move on from a busy weekend across Scottish football. The SPFL say league reconstruction is not on the cards for the top flight but remains a possibility for the lower leagues. Callum McGregor says Celtic will face criticism if they lose to Rangers again, even if they go on to win the treble. And Rangers' potential new owners are in town and get a tour of Ibrox ahead of the reported takeover. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Gordon DL. What have you got for us?
It's still exciting times in Scottish football. We've got a lot to look forward to. I think that if you're Celtic, obviously still celebrating the title win, looking forward to playing Aberdeen in the final to see if you can get yet another treble. If you're Rangers fans, you're excited with the fact that the new owners are in town, looking about the club, planning everything, trying to go forward. That's a massive plus for them. You look down the leagues, the good games that we had at the weekend, exciting games, and then you look into the Championship that will be decided on Friday night. So a lot to look forward to, and then we'll build up probably later in the week to a game that still means a lot to the supporters. Although one or two are trying to play it down a little bit, but come Sunday they'll still mean a lot.
Yeah, I mean the Rangers have scored 9 goals against Celtic in the last 3 games, Gordon. And I think that's almost unheard of in recent times. So as much as there's a huge gulf in quality in terms of consistency over the season in Celtic, by far the best team in the country, in these one-off matches, Rangers have proved recently that they can certainly compete with Celtic. So I think, as Callum McGregor's mentioned today in the press, they believe that they owe Rangers one. So I think there's something there to play for. But as Gordon has mentioned as well, I think the bottom six in particular, still the relegation to be decided, the European places, so still teams fighting for things. And as he mentioned, a huge day evening Friday night with both Livingston and Falkirk. All credit to Livingston for getting level points, and it's all going to come down to the final showdown at the weekend.
You should know the number by now, but if not, 0141-951-1025. So many topics, an unbelievable number of talking points out there. So let's hear from you. It is only Tuesday. You can still look back on the weekend, of course. Celtic fans, how do you reflect on the title win? What does this one mean? How does this one compare? What were the high points? Who were the standouts? Maybe it's a night for some unsung heroes, maybe. Maybe people that haven't had the credit they deserve in the last couple of days. Do give us a call, Rangers fans. How excited are you at the footage of the prospective new owners getting a wander around Ibrox? Everywhere looks better in the sun. I bet they've just waited until that one sunny day that we've got. And you know that way you go and view
a great
your house.
Selling point, Scott.
Always looks better when it's sunny. Yeah, so they're over having a look. How exciting is that for you, Rangers fans? Of course, the game on Sunday if you want to look ahead. But there's a lot doing the rounds today as well, because how's about this? We were inundated. It might be one of the busiest topics of the season when league reconstruction reared its head a couple of weeks ago. The report was that they were considering moving to a 10-team league. We get so many calls about it. The SPFL today have said that will not be happening, but neither will be a bigger league, from what you guys all suggested, many of you wanted as well. So the SPFL today saying no appetite really for change in the top flight, but will consider looking at the lower league. So give us your thoughts there then. Are you happy that it's not 10? Is that happiness outweighed by the fact that you wanted it to be bigger? Can you survive the status quo? Is that good enough for you? Are you actively happy with the status quo? Do let us know. 0141 951 1025. It was so busy yesterday reflecting on the weekend, we didn't even hear from our Player of the Year nominees. So we'll do that tonight. I've got a challenge for you if anyone wishes to accept. Can anyone put up a case for someone other than Daizen Maeda? Or is it that simple? Because he's in the shortlist. Nicholas Kuhn, of course, on there as well. Callum McGregor and Simon Murray, Gordon Dale's man, is in there. You've been giving him the big build up in recent weeks. Can anybody make a case for anyone other than Daizen Maeda out of those four? And if not, and you want to just praise him, feel free. The young player shortlist is interesting. We'll hear from Lennon Miller. Arne Engels was on there as well. Hamza Igeman, James Wilson. So plenty to get through there. And as always, if there's something you think we've missed, put us in our place. 0141 951 1025. Always like this because we've got a former winner of PFA Player of the Year. Always like him on in this week.
Former championship winner.
That doesn't count. It's a big prize.
Twice.
It's a big prize we're talking about.
It'd have been three, but I didn't decide to go.
A bit of gravitas to the show this week.
You've trumped me.
I told you before.
Well, I played against this man. I know how good he was.
I'm talking about the thought of a centre half for the team that finishes bottom being player of the year. That's like a St Johnstone defender being the best player in this league this season. Mind blown. He must have been some player.
Did you finish bottom that year?
Yes.
Relegated.
Every year I say it.
To be fair,
our
depth is
okay. The way I look at that's quite simple. Sympathy vote. That's the only way.
Well, how did they not get somebody else? There was other players in the team.
They'd have been relegated by Halloween.
They didn't like me and I was kicking them.
They'd have been relegated by Halloween if it wasn't for him. That must have been the thought process.
No, I think it's one of those ones that it's living else, Gordon. I mean, it was a long time ago. It was actually 40 years this year, so that just shows you how long ago it was. But when you look back, then I suppose it is something to be quite chuffed about.
Absolutely.
But still get the trophy.
Yeah, of course I'll get the trophy. Yeah,
have you? Do you remember his story last year? You'd have been proud of it. He took his trophy and the receptionist went to look in the box, but he'd stuffed it full of the free shampoos for the hotel.
The shampoo, the shower gel, no that, no the fruit, no that. I'll fail it.
You deserve that trophy.
That's right up your street. That
correct.
Isn't it?
Get it. I love that.
You take an empty bag.
Yeah, I do.
He'd have the slippers and the dressing gown and all that.
I take a lot. See me try to get a pill in my duty.
The old Ross from Friends one. Yeah. Anyway, right. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. It really is a melting pot of topics for you to choose from, or if there's something else, feel free. I was amazed at the response to the league reconstruction discussion we had a couple of weeks ago, and now we've got a proper update on that. The SPFL basically saying it won't be changing in the top flight. So is that good news because at least it's not the 10 that people were talking about, or is it bad news because you wanted more? Give us your thoughts there, please. 0141 951 1025. It's Manager Player of the Year season. In fact, I think it's tomorrow the Manager of the Year shortlist will be revealed. So throw another topic in there as well. It really is all happening. You've got your prospective new owners getting a show around Ibrox as well, Rangers fans. Lots happening. 0141 951 1025. Can't believe we're nearly there. Season's nearly done. If we're dishing out awards, still a lot happening.
Yeah, but listen, there's still a lot to play for. I think Jim touched on it there. You look at the bottom six. I think Motherwell, with their win at the weekend, is taking herself away from it. I think it's just down Ross County, Dundee, Kilmarnock, St Johnstone are gone. I think we all agree with that. They need their victory. The most exciting thing for me just now, this week building up, will be Friday night.
Championship.
Your championship. You look at that championship, there's a lot to play for. You're looking at Falkirk Livingston level points, Falkirk at home to Hamilton, and obviously Livingston at home to Partick. Partick sitting there hoping
still
to
need a point.
Exactly, with Raith Rovers away to Queen's Park. So I think Friday night will be absolutely brilliant for the championship. Then we're going to Saturday's games in the bottom six and the teams playing each other. And then we've got a massive game. And then we're all off to the awards on Sunday night to see Daizen Maeda pick up the trophy and Simon Murray.
So you don't think anyone's going to take me up on this challenge tonight to put up a case for someone else? Can it be done?
I would probably put up a challenge for Simon Murray, right?
Oh, right. You think he'd be second out of that?
100%.
Didn't make team of the year, but gets the,
no, I think
the top four.
For me, he'd be second. Right, there's obviously some quality players in there, Coon and McGregor. But when you look at what he's achieved for Dundee this season, right, not just as a goal scorer, as a team player, everything about it, I think he deserves
to be second. I don't know if you've inspired him, but James in Ballornock is on a similar theme, I think. James, how are you?
Hi, panel. How are you?
Good, James. Good. What have you got for us, James?
Yeah, I've just been thinking that. Yeah, Simon Murray for Dundee. Thinking that once why doesn't Celtic go in for him? Because he's a good striker. He gets a lot of goals for Dundee. If he signed for Celtic, he'd get more chances.
Now, how does he fit in the squad? Are you seeing him as being a kind of that third option? You got him as Celtic's main striker. Give us a bit of context.
Main striker, just to be there. Not, I mean, I think he would get a turn for Celtic, right now.
Age, simple as that, 33,
that's not Celtic's model. To be fair, I think James would be talking as that kind of,
I've said, come off the bench. I totally agree with that, but no, that's no the way forward. Simon Murray's probably having his best season ever in football. He's been absolutely brilliant for Dundee. He deserves all the pats in the back that he's getting. He deserves to be in that nominations of the top four. I can make a brilliant case for him for being second, there's no doubt, because Maeda will certainly win it. But I think Simon Murray this year has held Dundee together. I think Dundee would have been real problems without him. But
I've been banging trouble with him.
Yeah, but he's a team player as well, Jim. Mm-hmm. And I think that we go back to it and you say the old cliche I used to say in the game, manager's dream. He's a manager's dream, you know. He goes out there, he plays for the team, he's unselfish, he's banged his goals in this season. So he deserves to be there.
No, I think James, in terms of you know, the type of player he is, as Gordon was mentioning, you know, he gives 100%, you know, his enthusiasm, his energy. The fact that his fellow pros have voted him as one of the top four tells you how difficult they have found it playing against them. You know, so all these the votes that he's had, is I'm guessing most of them would be centre-backs.
Callum McGregor said he voted for him.
Yeah, I mean, again, seeing someone like him and the impact he's made against them, so I can totally understand, you know, your support from him. But I think just in terms of the style of player he is, you know, Celtic have got, you know, let's just say that they're not maybe on the counter attack so much as somebody like Dundee. They control the game, they need somebody that links up the play a little bit different. So that it's just more his style. But I'm delighted to see Simon Murray, you know, in that, you know, in the top four. And I think he thoroughly deserves it. We had a wee discussion a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, about international call-up, and I said yes, regardless of where he's 33, because I don't think we're blessed with enough strikers that he could, you know, be dismissed. So I'm more inclined to say that he should be in the next Scotland squads, but not at this moment in time. As Gordon said, just with the fact he's 33. If he was 23, I think it'd been a different argument.
Could you really see it, James, as good as he's been, Celtic spending money on a 33-year-old from Dundee?
33-year-old, I don't think it would cost a lot as well, Gordon. I don't think it would cost that much.
Yeah. Simon Murray, we've praised him. Simon Murray will be nowhere near Celtic's radar. Let's be honest. And I know what James is saying, and I'm delighted that supporters from other clubs are recognising the job that he's done this year, but it goes back to it. This is probably Simon Murray's best season, probably in his career. I think he's been absolutely brilliant all round, but to go that leap to Celtic, and it ain't going to happen.
He's also a Dundee supporter and a Dundee voice, so therefore I think that's given him that extra desire, that little, you say, that little bit extra, take him up that extra level for not just his goal scoring but his commitment to the cause. But they've still got a lot to do this year, Gordon. I mean, that's the other thing, they're not out of the woods yet. I mean, I know they're second bottom, but they don't want to finish in the playoff positions, and they've still got a fair bit of work to do. And as Gordon has mentioned, although St Johnstone are 6 points away, the next game is crucial for St Johnstone, because if they win that, they could make it a very nervy last couple of games.
Let's hear from Simon Murray then. Says he wasn't expecting his Player of the Year nomination, but delighted with his form and always had the belief he could make a big impact.
I feel like I've had a good season, but maybe to get this award has made it quite special. Obviously, when I came back from South Africa, I had my sort of bad knee injury, and the sort of aim was to try and climb up to play in the Premier League again, which I knew I was capable of, but it's over the last few years it's went pretty well, and I'm just happy with how my sort of performances have been, pretty consistent, and adding sort of more goals to my game in recent years, which has been great. I always had the belief that I could, and the sort of application and the work ethic to try and get there, but I mean, obviously it's easier said than done, so I've just kept my sort of head down and just worked as hard as I could, and I've got some.
Thank you, James. Let's bring in John on the other line. How are you, John?
Sound, sound.
What are you thinking tonight?
No, I'm thinking, I think Simon Murray's, the boy Murray for Aberdeen, Dundee should be allowed to a Scotland cap. You're bringing that young boy in from what you call him, Hearts. I mean, you see, he's only a young boy, he's no experience. This guy can score goals, and he can actually rough players up, and we've not got anybody like that and up front for Scotland.
Jim, already can I spoil it? He said yes to that.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
I can take Jim's argument. I totally agree, because listen, I've been a massive fan of him. Coming off the bench, what he gives you, he can give you a goal. You know what I mean? He works for the team, everything about it. It's how Steve Clark sees it going forward to try and build. Young Wilson come in, it's a different ball game because of the age gap and everything like that. It's the only thing that's probably holding him back. But if Simon Murray was in our next Scotland squad, I wouldn't be raising my eyebrows saying, what's going on here? It's a backwards step.
The thing is, though, in many ways, James Wilson's in there because he's that age, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, like John saying, he's inexperienced, but that's kind of the point. I don't think anyone, Steve Clark or anyone, saying he's in there because he's
ready.
He's at the level.
He's completely 100% ready, but we do this a lot. We argue and we debate who the fourth choice option is in every position.
Why should someone who's a teenager or 20 above arms to be get that, if you want to call it that, freedom to say, right, okay, well, he's not quite ready to be in the squad, but we'll put him in for experience or, you know. But if somebody's 33, we can't say, oh, well, why don't we put him in? Because he's good enough to go in at this moment in time. Gordon's argument there was, you know, building stuff. I don't think as a national manager you can look too far about building. You only get the team, you know, what, half a dozen times a year for a couple of games.
Yeah.
So to me, you've got to have players who are high impact players at that particular moment in time.
I
don't think there's a better striker, Scottish striker, at this moment in time than Simon Murray.
I'm not arguing yet about that, Jim. I totally agree with you, but I think because of the problems now we look at. You look at Rangers, right? Everybody's saying, put the youth in because there's nothing to play for. When we're in Scotland, it was young Doak. Doak get put in. All of a sudden, the fans were excited because not the fact that he's got great ability, right? It's the fact he's a young player. It's a freshness and everything. And I think that's what fans... And I totally agree. Listen, I'm on your side here. Totally agree with you. I think it doesn't matter what age you are. I would believe that Simon Murray could easily go in and do us a tournament in Scotland.
But that's
in
what I'm
a
saying,
one or two off games.
I'm talking about, is it more likely that we're talking about who's the fourth choice striker, right? So it's a guy that's getting 10 minutes here. And if it's a do or die playoff or something, fine. But if it's not, and there's no much there, you're going to give the fourth choice spot to somebody who's got a future.
You're saying he's fourth choice. So who's the first three?
Well, Shea Adams, Lyndon Dykes, if he's fit.
Yeah, but Lyndon Dykes is injured. Lorne Shankland's way out of form.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no excuse that. Young James Wilson,
was an example then.
I personally, if you were think talking, is ready yet. I think Simon Murray's ahead of him.
Is he ahead, Nisbet?
So, what's that? Kevin Nisbet.
But that's what I mean.
Possibly.
But that's what I mean. If we're talking about you getting a couple of minutes, is it worth Simon Murray being in the squad ahead of a James Wilson, if you're talking about maybe not even getting on anyway?
Yeah, I do, because I think James Wilson's in under 21s and again gradually move up. And again, Gordon mentioned Doak, and I get that, because Ben Doak is electrifying, he is exciting.
He's a different level,
I think, and no disrespect. And I think Wilson hopefully progresses to the point where we do have him in the squad on a more regular basis. But that's me. I agree with John. I just think that at this moment in time, we're not blessed with top strikers, and I don't see any reason, and I think we've got to dismiss the age factor completely and say, is he good enough? Is he ready? End of story.
It's a good debate, John. Thank you very much. 01419511025. That seems to have caught fire a bit out of nowhere. That's the beauty of the phone in. You decide and see where it takes us. If you've got something else you want to share, please do. What about this league reconstruction business? You were battering down these phone lines a few weeks ago. We now know today it won't change to 10, but also won't change to anything else. It looks like it will stick with 12. What's your reaction to that? Get it in. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel are here. Give them a call, 0141 951 1025, if you're watching on the live stream. I think you'll agree they both look a wee bit sun-kissed, both of you. You in particular.
I do.
I've got to buy you sun cream.
My face is a wee bit
seriously
red.
I don't know where I get sun kissed. You don't get sun kissed and sitting on a side of more.
Now that you're a chauffeur, you know, get the one arm.
Aye, maybe one arm. I might
you've
get one
been
arm
on that golf course today.
I've been on the golf course. I'm straight from the golf course to here, obviously.
We can see that. Yep. No hat or anything.
I never wear a hat. You know,
Spain
with me,
Golvin.
You know that?
Okay. Well, listen,
Stetson.
I'll buy you some anyway. James. James is next through. How are you,
never
James?
Hi, James.
Panel. Yeah, good, thanks. What are you thinking tonight?
It's just I've been listening about the Simon Murray conversation and the topic about his age. It's cropped up there. I can't figure that one out because, I mean, the guy's banging in goals for our teammates in the bottom half of the Premier League. And he's steadily, for the last few seasons, he's been getting there to this point. And I think definitely he's been overlooked with Scotland so far this season, which I think he should have been in at least a couple of squads to have a look at, because we've done it with Shanklin and whatever and all that, and they guys deserved their chance and all. And I feel like Murray's deserved his chance. And I'm a Celtic fan, and I actually wouldn't mind him at Celtic Park, to be honest with you, because as well as the goals that he has scored, and it's the industry of the guy, and he's chasing. I mean, he looks as fit as a butcher's dog, and that enthusiasm as well. I think Simon Murray deserves a sort of big move. Even if Rangers were to look at him, you know what I mean? Or Aberdeen. I mean, because when you think back, and like, I'm 51 now, and I think back to Celtic's Italian season, we signed Billy Stark when he was 32. They done his return for a couple of years. Lubo Miravcek, I know he's a very technical player, but I mean, nobody had heard of him, and certain panel members were actually ridiculing it, and they ended up with egg in their face at it. So
I've never heard of that story before. That's a new one to me.
I think Simon Murray even going to Celtic or Rangers, I mean, it's not the daftest idea in the world, and I wouldn't let his age get in the way of that.
Look, I know what James means, but it's not, I don't think it's said to be cruel to Simon Murray. Mm. It's just an unavoidable fact of football that when a club signs you, they either want to be able to sell you in the future, mm-hmm, or they want to get your best years, or they want to get the fruits of your labour for the next 3 or 4 years. You know, that.
But
that's,
it's not always
it
the case. I mean, James is saying there, because Celtic in the past operate. Have signed Ian Wright, they've signed Craig Bellamy, you know, they've signed Roy Keane, you know, guys who were past their best, were at a certain age. There's a profile.
Yeah,
level
they had been
I get that, but what the point we're discussing an age factor here, mm-hmm, going from that's the point I'm making. So I I'm not saying that.
Do you think Celtic would sign Simon Murray?
No. Right. But I'm saying, but that's not to do. The fact is, it's not Celtic's policy, and I get, as I said, as a style of player. The thing I agree with James is that I think sometimes we do look at an age, and the other thing for me is that football now is so immediate that if a manager then thinks, oh, in 2 years' time, you know, we're looking for a player at 21, by the time he gets to 23, he'll be starting to come into his best years, he might not get 2 years. We've just seen him with Neil Critchley, yeah. You know what I mean? So it can happen so quickly. Celtic's different. Brendan Rodgers is in a different level. He's got a different agenda possibly than a lot of other managers, and an opportunity to develop a team because he's going to be there long term. But most other managers don't have that luxury. So therefore, if you think that guy can get me to a certain position or achieve certain targets, and it's only going to be lasting for 1 year, nowadays I think there's more likely that a manager would take that chance because he doesn't have the luxury of 3 or 4 years to look ahead.
I think, Jim, I know what you're saying. I'm with you with the age thing, mm-hmm, right? 100% with you. I think if you're 33 and you're going to Celtic, mm-hmm, or teams like Celtic, mm-hmm, Rangers, I think you've got to be exceptional. Simon Murray, we have never spoken, mm-hmm, about Simon Murray. I've never heard Simon Murray apart from this season.
I agree.
Right?
Did have a good season last season, but
yeah, but not to he's the same. Been, and listen, nobody's, mm-hmm, peeped any more praise on him than myself. But you would need to be, you mentioned there, like Ian Wright's and Roy Keane's and all this carry on. I don't think that'll happen again under Celtic's watch and Brendan Rodgers. But if a 33-year-old come along to go to teams like that, I think you've got to be right up there. And I don't think Simon Murray is, but he's been brilliant this season, deserves every, you know, pat in the back he's
and getting. See on the Scotland point, there are loads of things you could level at Steve Clarke, and he's had a lot of criticism for various results and performances. I don't think he's been particularly reluctant to look, you know, but if you, I know there became a debate about whether Lauren Shanklin should start, but he was in a lot of squads. Kevin Nisbet went to the previous Euros. Even go back to Stephen O'Donnell's got 26 caps. Yeah. Declan Gallagher did a great turn getting to the first Euros. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was kind of emergency circumstances, but Andy Considine played a couple, and Paul McGinn and Nicky Devlin came on. I think if we're being really fair, like I say, crack on. I'm sure there's a lot of people will want to hold against Steve Clarke. I'm just not sure that's one of them. You know, this. I don't think there's been
any word of criticism from us because he's had other players available. But what I'm saying is, if Lyndon Diggs is not available, if Lawrence Shanklin's form has dropped and he does have the contractual dilemma because he's out of contract, all these sort of things, I'm just saying at this moment in time, he's the most prolific Scotland striker. But you know, you've got likes of guys like Ollie Burke who's done well with Jimmy and not involved, and he's
moving now to another team in Bundesliga.
So there are situations, you know, in Italy just now, obviously Scott McTominay's flying, other two goals at the weekend, not an actual striker, but we're just talking about options, Gordon, I just think that Simon Murray can't be ruled out. I think that's the one thing we see. He has to be considered. I think that's something, and I think we have to consider it and ignore the fact he's got 33 after his name.
He doesn't miss a trick. I've had a message. You can tell me who it's from. 26 years since Lubo signed. What about the statute of limitations?
Is that much better?
Nailed HK. On. Thank you for bringing it up, though, James. You keep at him. Keep him on his toes. Kevin's in Castle Milk. How are you, Kevin?
I'm not too bad, Gordon. Yourself?
Not bad, thank you. What made you call tonight?
It was a couple of points, actually. I was going to phone up. You said to try and make a point. To support anybody except Dyson for player of the year.
Well, go on then, let's hear it.
Well, mine's just for Cal Mac.
Right.
And the reason for that is I think the guy goes underrated, even though everybody loves him. But he plays an 8 at least every game, and he somehow still never comes up with man in a match. He is there every game playing. He's just every season after every season. But I do actually think Dyson should get it, just to say, right, but
I know that's the thing. I'm not expecting anyone to say it with full conviction. Kevin's just trying to give us the chat, which is fine. We were joking at the weekend. We're going to try and get Fraser Wishart to tell us if it's one of the most one-sided votes ever or not. Listen, maybe it's not. Maybe there have been before. I know you guys, when you're players and you're voting, maybe you see something else or a different appreciation. Callum McGregor does obviously make Celtic tick. But he,
and plus the fact, I think the positive thing about McGregor is he's a goal threat now. You know, the amount of goals
this year
he's getting that. Instead of that just sitting, taking the ball off the back man and dictating and not really getting himself into positions to score goals, he seems to have changed that a little bit, and he's become a real goal threat. You see in the semi-final, the first goal was always going to be so important against St Johnston. The floodgates opened after that, and it was him that got there, and it was a great finish. Got to say, terrific ball from Hatate. Yes, he has added goals to his game. Listen, he is consistent. I think that's just what's expected of him because he's been doing it so long for Celtic. But I do agree, Gordon. I think it will go down record as the most one-sided.
Think so?
Oh, 100%.
I think the point that Kevin's making is that it's a backhanded compliment to Callum McGregor, and he does go under the radar at times, and he's a victim of his own success. He's that consistent and that good that when he has a little off game, and I'm talking about just a little tweak of a game where it doesn't quite go for him, or Celtic have a poor performance, like up at St Johnstone a few weeks ago and stuff like that, everyone looks at Callum McGregor. And when he's missing the odd game, actually, I think it was the Rangers game. I think Brendan Rodgers even referred to it. So he's that important. He's that and such an important cog in that Celtic wheel that he does sometimes get taken for granted. And I think that's the difficulty, Kevin. I think his quality cannot be underestimated. His consistency of not just being available for selection, but his performance levels, you're right, he's such a high standard, and he sets the bar for Celtic. He is the beating heart, he is the driving force, he is, you know, someone that leads by example, he's an inspirational player on the pitch. He knows what it means, the standards that Celtic set, and he sets that himself. So, I mean, you cannot praise Callum McGregor, but we're just talking about a one-off season. Yeah. And Dyes and Maeda, I think, has surprised everybody. I don't think anybody thought that Dyes and Maeda could score the amount of goals and look as calm in the situations. Because the first couple of years, no one had good about his
you
work
would
rate.
Shut your eyes,
yeah,
you?
I mean, you would look at him, but you think he's so erratic in front of goal. This year, I don't know. He just looks like a different beast in front of goal. He looks so calm, so composed. His variation, his goals have been absolutely phenomenal. So I just don't think you can't deny he is the deserved player of the year this year.
Look, it's a bit of a moot point, because ultimately when you're talking about player of the year, obviously you have to take into account who else is there and what you're competing against. But if we're talking Callum McGregor versus Callum McGregor, the year that he won it,
2021,
I think he scored four goals. He's got 10 this season, and he probably had the same influence in terms of the way he made Celtic tick. Sure. So you know, probably wouldn't be ridiculous to suggest that he has had a better season this season than the season that he won it. But, you know, obviously you take into account who you're up against and what the strength of the competition is.
I can't disagree with that. I think he's been excellent. And you say he won it with four goals, he's got 10.
It's not all about goals, obviously.
No, but for a midfield player that normally just, you look that he's got to dictate the game and just let other people go and do what they have to do, he's chipping in now. And important ones, first one against semi-final, opens the floodgate. It's up, and then all of a sudden St Johnson's heads go down a little bit and Celtic go and win the game comfortably. But the one thing about Maeda is, remember, he started in the left hand side. He started as a wide man, and then all of a sudden Kyogo goes away. That's a massive gap to fill. We thought Adam Eder then was going to be the number nine. He was going to be the main striker. Maeda went in there and just exploded. He was absolutely brilliant. So, yes, you can have wee arguments for other players like Simon Murray, Dundee, Coons started the season.
The first half of the season,
great.
Coons was phenomenal.
You know, and then all of a sudden dropped off it. Look at him at Tannadice at the weekend. I think he was making a little point. Look, I dropped off a wee bit, but now I'm back. I'm back to what I was.
Did you like that? Did you like the celebration? I can see you doing that.
Yeah, I like
hitting back at the critics,
exactly,
as they call it.
And that's what you do. Good players do that. And he's a very, very good player.
Let me ask you, Kevin, before we push on. Kevin, just when we're on the theme, do you think Arne Engels will win the young player, or will that go to someone else? Lennon Miller, Hamza Egeman, James Wilson?
Honestly, I think there's a chance it might go to Egeman, to be honest. I think it's actually done all right since he's been in, mostly because he started kicking on for December onwards, really. I think so, but can I just say, I'd say to the producer, I'm going to say this on air, but
that's a worrying sentence. I'm not going to lie, keep it clean.
Well, it's always clean, but I agree with Gordon. Murray won't step fit in Celtic Park as a Celtic player. It won't happen. But he's in a great season, the guy. It's not going to happen.
That's fine. You're reluctantly allowed to admit that you would agree with Gordon DL. You had me worried there. Kevin, thank you very much. Let me tell you about this before we go on. Clyde One. Make me a winner. 531,000 pounds. Deduct whatever it's going to cost you for your sun cream. You've still got a lot left, obviously, right? So that's the biggest ever.
31 grand I've got left.
Still the biggest ever cash prize. Every penny of it could be yours. So get your phone, get in the draw, and you could be walking away with £531,000 by texting yes to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. Online entries cost £250 or call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5pm Friday. Somebody wins the lot, it might as well be you. Text yes to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is here, so is Jim Duffy, and it's 01419511025 if you want to join in. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Just one of those nights where there's so much happening. Who knew there was a big Simon Murray debate to be had? That's the beauty of when caller number one brings something up and then everybody has a nibble. But of course it is relevant because he is nominated for Player of the Year. We heard from him tonight. We were so busy last night we didn't get round to hearing from some of the nominees. We spoke about the young player there as well. Arne Engels was speaking yesterday. Lennon Miller. I think the manager shortlist gets revealed tomorrow. And everybody's favourite topic, league reconstruction, has been given a proper update.
Gordon, can I ask you as well, because obviously you part of the football writers vote.
I'm not. No, you're looking at your Roger Hannahs of the world,
yeah,
for that.
Because the young player has to be Scottish, doesn't he?
For that one, yes.
Yeah, so I'm just a wee bit concerned just now that the kind of lack of depth, if you want to call it that.
This season might not be a good... I hear you generally. This season you might... Lennon Miller, James Wilson, Bobby Wales, I don't know. Last year it was David Watson won it, and Lennon Miller was in the shortlist, I think. But you're right, there are some years where it's a bit of a
struggle because it's got to be Scottish.
The Football Writers one does. The PFA one open, and hence why Arne Engels, Hamza Igaman are on the list. Right, let me bring you up to speed on that development today in case you are wondering. The 10-team Premiership that was spoken about last month will not happen. So the SPFL have admitted there was no consensus around changes to the top flight. Now obviously what that also means is that the different proposals that were discussed, 14 team, 16 team, they won't be happening at the moment either. I think there's a lot obviously to take into account. Games played, increased number of games in UEFA competitions are making things harder. There's a busy international calendar. So the 10 team one, you'll remember, was pretty controversial. I don't think we've got any, and that's saying something, I don't think we've got any fans on here backing that. Some were happy with the current setup, and you look at the excitement of the split at the moment. I think a lot of people wanted bigger, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. They say it was agreed there was no reasonable prospect of achieving consensus around a new format for the William Hill Premiership, because remember this requires like an 11-1 vote or something along those lines. So it's all right even if you think there's a bit of an appetite there. There needs to be a huge appetite for it, otherwise it's never going to happen. However, there was a broad agreement around potential changes to the Championship, League 1 and League 2. So these will be worked up with a view to conducting a consultation with clubs and other shareholders. So it could be that those are increased in size and so on. Paul is on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you doing?
Not bad. What did you make of that news today then?
I think it's quite interesting in terms of the fact that nothing's going to change with the Premier League, but I think the lower leagues probably need a change, and I think one of the main things they probably need is a change in relegation and promotion, particularly at the bottom end of League 2.
Yeah, so open up that pyramid a bit more.
I would say so. I think because if anybody follows the lower leagues in terms of non-league football, then there's a lot of talk about reconstruction at Tier 5 level and making it the Lone League East, Lone League West and the Highland League being Tier 5. So I think that it's probably, if they changed the bottom three divisions to two divisions and made it two 16-team leagues, which means they would need to add a team in because there's obviously only 30 teams in the bottom three tiers. But I think a good way for me would be if Club 42 was relegated and the winner of the Highland League and Lone League were both promoted, and that would take you up to the teams required, the kind of
the number
16 in each, the number in both. But I think that, like I'd said, that the main issue for me with the lower leagues is the insistence on self-preservation and not promoting and relegating, particularly, again, at the bottom level. The talk is for the Lone League to be split into Lone League East and West and at the start of the 26-27 season. So if they went to 16 teams at the bottom end, I think you could have three relegated, which would allow the winner of the East, West, Lone Leagues and the Highland League all to be promoted up. And I also think that in terms of younger players coming through the team, with the leagues being 10-team leagues, there's a lot of pressure on managers to try and either get promoted and make the playoffs or not get relegated. And I think that it doesn't make it a breeding ground for young players to get a lot of opportunities to play. So if they made the league bigger, you'd probably have a better chance for younger players to be bled through into the first teams.
What do you make? Because like, Paul covered a lot of good ground. You could almost do a full show on each section of that. And obviously we're seeing it playing out at the moment. East Kilbride are ahead in the tie against Brora, but they still need to play the winner of either Forfar or Bonnie Rigg Rose, and people feel it's a bit harsh. So there's that. There's then entry into the Lowland League and so on. To sort of mix that all in with Paul's last point, because I think that's maybe the most relevant in terms of today's news. A lot of people who wanted a bigger Premiership will be disappointed by this news today. But I wonder if a bigger Championship's actually a good answer, and then that becomes a real, you know, if people are saying that they think bigger leagues is where young players can get more of a chance.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this argument, I think, several times over the years about, you know, does it give young players a chance? I still think that when you're involved in football and you get in there, you know, whether they're 16, 12, 10, you know, managers are under so much pressure nowadays, you know, in such a short period of time, that I really don't think that somebody's then going to go and say, well, listen, this will buy me, or I've got a little bit more freedom to try and introduce young players. I would love it to work. I just don't think it would in the reality. For me, there's other issues which I think are a bit more relevant just now, and that's I think there has to be stricter governance of the lower leagues that are currently in stand. I mean, we've got three teams at this moment in time who, you know, for one reason or another have lost a number of points. So Inverness, Dumbarton and Hamilton. So and I think that's again not uncommon.
Bonnie Rigg Rose as well.
Yeah, Bonnie Rigg. So there's so many issues with clubs just now, and I think there's got to be better guidance and as I said, you know, maybe something that makes sure that clubs can survive, can progress, and don't get themselves into these situations. As I said, it's not something that seems to happen every year. But the one thing I do agree with Paul is that, you know, when the lower leagues, I do believe that the Highland League winner and the Lowland League winner should have the opportunity to be promoted, because you've won your leagues. So I do think there has to be something there that allows that to happen. But I'm not so sure that if you make it 2-16s that all of a sudden that'll encourage a lot of you know, teams to all of a sudden develop their own young players. I just don't think it will happen, Gordon.
So seeing the top end of it, Gordon, what did you make of that today, that there's no change? Because you were actually...
I'm for the fact that the status quo, right? I know there's an argument out there from a lot of supporters, because I was on the show that night. I think it was really Big Mar. Was it me, Jim?
Yep.
And we got a lot of calls, and the most calls were about 16. Mm-hmm. You know, some went 14 or whatever. I just think we've got a good product. Mm-hmm. I go back to my argument. Yeah. I think it's exciting. Mm-hmm. You look at the bottom six and now it's exciting as well. I think the fact that the crowds are definitely up this season tells you we've got a good product. Mm-hmm. Would another four going in there, 16 from the teams from the Championship, improve make that more exciting?
I
don't really think so, Gordon.
We also are quite a small country to be having a 16-team league, and certainly any bigger. I'm still seeing people saying about 18 because, you know, the people are wanting the sort of variety, and people say they're fed up of playing the same four teams, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But realistically, if you went to 14, you'd still be having somewhat of a split. Yeah. If you're having 16, you'd probably still. So, and we're not really a big enough country for anything bigger, are we? So, is this always the outcome that was actually most likely?
It was never a chance of 10. No, I don't think. Absolutely not. And I think there are supporters out there, like you say, look, we don't go out there and pay our money and go up and down the country and supporters going, well, I'm sick of seeing the same team, you know, every few weeks, and we have to play them so many times. We need more teams in there. But to put more teams in there, I know Falkirk, for instance, could come up, Livingston could come back up. It's very, very tight. But another four teams in there from the Championship, I don't think it would make the quality that, you know, all of a sudden, what a great change that was. I just think, and I get back to it, see if you've got a good product, people come and watch it. And right now, supporters are coming watching.
But I think that's the same for the Championship, though. I mean, every single year, the Championship is one of the most competitive leagues.
Look at this one, going to go to the final night.
But every year, Gordon, is one of the most competitive leagues, you know, in the country. So why do we want to, you know, deal with it? I think the two bottom leagues, you know, the second... I thought if you want to try and tweak that to allow, as Paul was saying there, maybe a couple other clubs to come in, then I think fair enough. But again, I go back to the point where if you said to the top four teams just now, Falkirk, Livingston, Ayr United and Partick Thistle, oh, listen, if we make it bigger, that'll allow you to bring in another three or four young players each. It won't, because their target is promotion. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they will have to focus on that. So I just don't think in the real world...
I think that's a bit of a red herring.
As it stands now, because the way the game is and the demands and, that instant impact you have to make, managers don't get 3 and 4 years to bring through young players.
Some good points well made, Paul. I think we could do a full show on your call. It was very detailed. I enjoyed it greatly. That was Paul on the line, which leads us nicely into this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. He's been out in the sun all day. He can take advantage of that. He's not the sharpest at the best of times when it comes to some of these Beat the Pundit questions. Let's see if you can catch him on an off night, or maybe it'll be Jim Duffy. 01419511025, and you need to call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy's here with Gordon DL. It's 01419511025 to give us a call. It's been a real mixed bag. It's been busy already. We've been talking Player of the Year nominees. That suddenly sparked a should Celtic sign Simon Murray? Should Simon Murray get a Scotland call up? League reconstruction update today. The SPFL say there's no realistic appetite for change. So it looks like it will stay as 12. Is that good news because it's not going to 10? Is it good news because you like the 12? Or is it bad news because you wanted bigger? Give us a call, please. I think the Manager of the Year shortlist gets announced tomorrow, or certainly in the coming days. What about you Rangers fans? We've not heard from you yet. Were you excited to see footage of a group of men walking around the outside of Ibrox? Is that the stage you're at because you're so keen for this takeover to move forward? And I suppose seeing the people involved getting shown around by Patrick Stewart would be a pretty good sign that things are heading in a certain direction. So give us a call, whatever it is that is on your mind, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, you're going for 3 wins in a row, apparently. Oh. I'm reliably informed.
I must be right on that team.
No, nowhere near it. Last time Jim was in the hot seat, he sneaked a 2-1 win. They all count.
Is Duff ahead of me in this table? Of course. I'd be really disappointed in that.
Yeah, he's only lost once.
Yeah, so there you go.
How many has he played?
5. But still.
So you're giving them that percentage out of 5 games. I'm on, what am I? I'm due a testimonial.
5 is the 100. 5 is the you're minimum.
I'm on a testimonial.
5's the minimum requirement to get included in
they
the table.
That up.
Me. Just right there.
Right there, man. Yeah.
It seems like a fair number. Mm-hmm. 5's a good shift.
Aye, you're right. If you win 4, then that's
throughout the season. Quite
yeah, because the coin.
I'm like the Callum McGregor of the Beat the Pundit.
You're just an easy
underrated, aye. Exactly. Don't always get the credit you deserve.
I'm happy with my form. I must be right. I'm on the heels.
No.
Whoever works a percentage is out needs to go back to school and get themselves sorted.
Okay. Scott is in Wishaw. How's it going, Scott?
Good, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
Yeah, I played a while ago against Simon Donnelly.
And?
Yeah, I beat him.
There you go. Scott's a player.
What are you wanting back on for then,
Scott's
Scott?
Scott's got form.
To beat you.
To beat you.
Oh,
you
well, that's a fair point.
That's fair.
I can't argue with that one.
Kind of local, North Lanarkshire.
Wish guys
Derby.
Never beat them on their own guys.
I was up there today actually. I was in that neck of the woods. Anyway, heads it will be Jim Duffy, tails it will be Gordon DL. And I'm afraid it'll need to wait, Scott. It is a heads, it's Jim Duffy taking on Scott in Wishaw. So what we'll do is give Jim something nice and loud so that he can't hear the other answers. And Scott, I'm sure you'll know the script, but in case you've forgotten, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and just pass if you do not know the answer, all right?
No problem.
Right, 30 seconds then, going on the clock, and your time starts now. Aberdeen striker Kevin Nisbet's on loan from which club?
Millwall.
Name either winner of Liverpool's title-winning squad that's played in Scotland.
Andy Robertson.
Roscoe is the mascot of which Premiership side?
Ross County.
Which club occupies the last promotion playoff place in the Scottish Championship?
Partick Thistle.
Which St Mirren striker signed a contract extension today?
Pass.
In what year was the last Champions League final played at Hampden?
1995. 6.
Okay, let's bring him back. Jim Duffy, can you hear us?
That's good. Yes.
I was waiting you doing the moonwalk.
Oh, yeah. I was about to.
Billy Jean, Michael Jackson.
Just when I thought he couldn't look any more ridiculous, he's sitting with one one headphone on and his ear sort of sticking out and the other. Very off-putting when I was trying to.
I'm doing a kind of moonwalk under the table.
Yeah, I'll moonwalk just say, on a chair though, can
I'll
you?
Say they are easy.
Think so.
Right, thanks
very much so. Mm,
we'll see. Okay.
Exactly.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time, Jim, starts now. Aberdeen striker Kevin Nisbet's on loan from which club?
Good pass.
Name either winner of Liverpool's title winning squad that's played in Scotland.
Andy Robertson.
Roscoe is the mascot of which Premiership side?
Ross County.
Which club occupies the last promotion playoff place in the Scottish Championship?
Paddy Thistle.
Which St Mirren striker signed a contract extension today?
Michael Mandron.
In what year was the last Champions League final played at Hampden?
2008.
Okay, what's the verdict, Scott? You've heard the opposition. Have you done enough?
I thought I was doing all right until the last couple of questions, so I'm not too sure.
Okay,
I can't believe you never get the first one.
I know, but sometimes you're making them blank, don't you? Just goes,
man, your ability.
Who is he
exactly?
Millwall.
Okay.
Billy Jean. I would have wiped Scott.
Scott got most of them right. How would you have wiped them?
To be fair, the last two, I would never have got there.
Exactly, let's go through.
I would never have got the last one.
It's not about you for once.
Okay.
Right, Kevin Nisbet is on loan from Millwall. 1-0 to Scott. You had the choice of Van Dijk and Robertson. A nice easy second question for Liverpool's title winners who've played in Scotland. You both got it. Scott stays one in front. You both got, I mean, as far as these questions go, Roscoe. It had to be, didn't it?
Roscoe, yeah.
But you got that wrong. You're joking. Roscoe.
Yeah, I'd have went.
I mean, it's literally like the name.
I wasn't
the team.
Until Jim said that I went, oh, I'm glad I never got
out
that
of curiosity.
One.
What do you think you would have gone for?
I probably
under pressure.
St. Johnson or something.
Oh, come on. So you're slaughtering me for Millwall, but you're know, like Roscoe.
You get one, Roscoe.
Anyway, still as it was, you both knew Partick Thistle are in fourth place as well, so still one up to Scott. However, it is Mikel Mandron signed the contract extension, so we are level, which means it'll all come down to the Champions League final question. I can tell you none of you are right. It was 2002. Remember Zidane?
I was at the game. And I was at the game with my son, and I can remember it. We're standing at the back and looking at that goal going
but
in,
6 years later.
But obviously I knew it was.
So you saw that live as well?
Yeah, I was there.
So did Mark. Remember last week we said what was the best goal anyone had seen live? Mark Wilson said that.
That's right. Yeah,
would you say that's the best goal you've seen live?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I'd have to think about it, but certainly up there. That's for sure.
Have to be
certainly
there.
Up there.
Was Mandron there? Was that a guess? St. Mirren?
Aye, because he said striker, and that was the first. Because I know that
the
boy Alessia, so he left.
Alessania's away,
so
America.
So that was the first one I can think of.
Here we go, going to a tiebreaker. Then not done this in a while. Okay,
come on, Duff.
I will ask the question. I'll then get Jim to write his answer down, and then I'll invite you to give me your attempt, Scott. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
The question is this: what is Scotland men's team's lowest ever FIFA ranking? What is the Scotland men's team's lowest ever FIFA ranking? Write it down quickly, Jim, so Scott's not
you should
too
know
much
that.
Time.
You're a big tart mammy, man.
Okay, what are you going for, Scott?
68.
Okay, Scott's gone 68. Jim's gone 99.
That's a cone, mate.
One of you is 11 away. Oh. The other one is 20 away. I hope I got that right.
Yeah.
Should be. It was quite an easy set of numbers. The answer is 88. Jim Duffy takes it. Not much in it as well, Scott.
Oh, unlucky.
That's like, what's that, like missing the fifth penalty
or something?
I would
have
something.
Been well done, man.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'd have went 54 or something.
No, goodness, no. March 2005, we were down at 88th.
If you listen, we've had some bad times over the years.
We're probably in the 40s
now. I was actually
now.
Going to go higher than that. Then I was going to 100, and then I just at the last minute I thought, right.
Ah,
right.
Scott, that's not bad.
Scott,
as well.
Unlucky
you
Scott.
You did all right. You did all right.
I would have beat Gordon.
Aye,
not Scott.
Was that 4
Scott,
was a 4 years thriller?
You wouldn't have beat me.
You would have. You'd have got Roscoe.
I'd have got 5. One wrong. I got wrong.
And you got the right. You wouldn't have got Mandron.
Yes, I did. Once you managed striker.
But you were baffled that he guessed.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he guessed it. That's why I say, did you guess that? In 2002, we all know where we were then.
Nobody's worse at years than you.
No. Yeah.
I think you could have got that 15 years out.
I probably could have, yes, but I wouldn't have.
Anyway, it doesn't matter, Gordon.
Scott was unlucky. We've had a, what, was it a UEFA Cup? Was it, or was it Europa League by then? There's been another European final since, but that was the last Champions League one at Hampden. Yeah. I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, who was it?
A couple of Spanish teams in it.
And to be fair, it should be the last one until the day something happened, because comparison to the other stadiums around, it's a bit embarrassing.
Well, there is that. Scott, who's your team?
Yes.
Are you excited at the sight of the potential new owners getting the tour of Ibrox today?
Well, I think it was going to take something like this to happen to anywhere near Celtic again. So I just, fingers crossed, you know, they can invest a bit of money and get the squad sorted.
Yeah, I can't, look, you're, but if you're a Rangers fan, you're bound to be clinging on to anything, because you hear these reports, what, over maybe 6 weeks ago, probably more than that. And look, if you know what you're looking for, if you see the number of reports and where they're being reported and the depth of them, you know that it's true. There's no reason to doubt it. But you're obviously then looking for a sign, a confirmation. Then came last week, Rangers for the first time said something, you know, admitted publicly, officially, from the club that the talk's ongoing. And now today, Parag Bharat, the Leeds chairman, he's the head of the investment arm of the San Francisco 49ers, so that is 49ers Enterprises. Andrew Kavanagh, who's the other name, that's, and he's been the one that's been at a couple of the European games. They were getting shown round by Patrick Stewart, and you know, I think it all started, as it often does in social media, with a phone picture from the very opposite side of Ibrox, up high. People are zooming in. It could have been anyone, but TV cameras have got them, you know, walking round. And yeah, like I say, if you're a Rangers fan who's just hoping that you see something to suggest it's moving in the right direction, that would be a sign, I would imagine.
Yeah, 100%. And on top of that, they brought in a new sporting director as well, Gordon. So they're starting to get things moving. I did agree with Barry Ferguson after the, obviously, the exit in Europe, when he turned around his presser and said, look, whether it's me or somebody else, we have to get moving. We have to get on the front foot. We can't let Celtic keep going further and further ahead, which they're obviously doing. So I think for Rangers fans seeing that today, I think there's a lot of very much hope.
Yeah, I think Leeds technical director Greta Steinsen was part of the group as well.
It's a difficult one, Gordon, because Rangers fans are desperate for, you know, to particularly compete with Celtic first and foremost, but it doesn't always work. You've looked at Manchester United and the money they've been invested in, but it's not worked. And you've got other ones. You've got the Wrexham scenario just now, and obviously fantastic. They've got promotion again. So there's different ways of doing it, and I think the way for Rangers has to be building it. You can't just throw, if they do get a ton of money and hope that it all works. You know, you've got to put the building bricks in place and gradually build something, have a strong foundation, so that you're not just relying on someone coming in and having a job lot of players and hoping that they all click. You need to build something, as Gordon said. Getting the director of football in was the first point. You know, get a manager in, whether it's Barry Ferguson or anybody else, but get that in. You know, start to put a structure in place that you can gradually improve the team over the next two or 3 years to the point where you can compete, because at this moment in time, they're miles away in pretty much every department.
Scott, I take it that has to be next. Is that what you're looking for, is some sort of managerial announcement or even a sign with, you know, in the coming weeks? Oh, Scott's away, he's disappeared, he's hung up. Same question to you, that'd be the obvious next.
100%. You know, because you can't just wait till the summer and then appoint. A manager's got to be brought in and give him a head start, at least, you know, get the club going, get his ideas in there, start preparing, because as Jim quite rightly said, there's a lot of work. It's not going to be a case of a new manager comes in, get all this money in the bank, and he brings all these quality players.
Do you think it'll change now, Gordon, from the fact is that Rangers have always traditionally had a manager? Do you think it'll be a head coach now? We hear so much there with the Jamestown Hearts, the analytics. But with the 49ers, you would imagine it'll be a similar sort of scenario with Leeds and stuff like that.
Where they
will look to bring in players, they will look to develop a philosophy and a structure, and the head coach will then have to implement their ideas. So do you think it will be more inclined with that?
I think it'll be mirrored on what's happening at Leeds. Right. I really do, because obviously it's successful, isn't it? You know, Leeds won last, was it 4-0 last night.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to the top of the championship, promote it and stuff like that. So I think they look at that and think, that works for us in England just now.
Yeah.
I think they're ruthless in the fact
that Leeds don't have someone in front of them who's their biggest rivals running away with leagues year after year.
I know that, I know that. But then when they look at it, it's really only one team that you're looking to overhaul here. So it's not like the Championship. A lot of big teams in the Championship spend a lot of money and a lot of players and good managers as well. And if they look at that success that they've got with Leeds, well, why would you come to Scotland? And only because it's Celtic, why would you change it? I think you're right. I think they'll go down that sort of a similar road.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of order of it all, you know, I guess it follows that sporting director would be first. You then, do you think it is possible then, Gordon, that a manager gets appointed before the takeover's named, you know, completed officially? Now, you know, have we now sort of seen that that's possible, if you like? Or, you know, if they've done it with the sporting director, you know, why not? These guys are here, they're at Ibrox, they're walking around. It's clearly at some sort of advanced stage. Yeah, so whether or not it's officially announced, you still feel like a manager could be you think a manager could be named soon?
Yeah, I think it's so I think it's so important.
I also think that players can get signed nowadays without the manager. That's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, players can get signed, they could be they should be, as Gordon mentioned earlier on, in the process of recruitment, you know, of players, because they will need a significant number of top players to come to Rangers to improve them. And I don't think you can wait, Gordon, until you appoint a manager, a head coach, and then go down the whole route of saying, right, what direction are we going in? I think as soon
Kevin Fellwell should be looking
He must have players in mind that he wants to get done. So I think it'll be for the first time, and maybe in their history, that Rangers will go down a different route, where they'll start signing players, and then the manager basically has to be told, these are your players, make them a team.
I'd be very surprised if the manager's not picked us now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And he knows it, and he's just sitting there.
I think it's a case of, I think they'll be discussing things with him, and I think that they'll have the target who it is, and I think there'll be contact made. Well, of course they are.
And would they have the courtesy to speak to Barry Ferguson already? Do you think they've already said to Barry, look, Barry, you're not going to be in charge next season?
Well, I think Barry won't.
He might be a brilliant poker face, but he's been pretty forthright with everything.
Yeah.
Unless it's happened since the weekend, he didn't strike you as a guy that had heard that already by the weekend, did he?
No, but I think they'll be down the line, and then once they get that over the line, then it's a case of sitting down with Barry Ferguson and talking where his role's going to be in the club. Because I've said it since day one, I don't think Barry will be the manager, right? But I think he's been brilliant at holding Rangers together in the last few months. I really do. I think Rangers needed someone like him and his staff to get in there and hold the club together. And they've achieved that. Look,
Barry said if he's not the gaffer, he'll just get back to his ambassador.
Well,
I get that, because it must be so difficult when you're the gaffer, you're the guy that's making all the decisions, and then all of a sudden someone says, well, you can be one of the assistants.
I don't think that ever happens.
Rangers season finishes in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not that long, is it? You just wait to then, and then the announcement comes after.
No, the announcement might come. What I'm saying, Gordon, is, you know, football nowadays, look, you're not telling me that they've not got their number one target and they're not already talking to this guy and trying to put things into place. 100%. That's the way football operates nowadays, with agents and managers and coaches and what director of football and whatever. So, yeah, they might announce it in 2 weeks, but I think it's ready on its way.
It's still all out there for you. Take your pick, Rangers fans. You've seen the new ownership group getting a tour of Ibrox. What did you make of that? Give us a call. We've been talking about the player of the year, young player of the year, shortlist, league reconstruction. Are you happy that it's going to stay at 12? Are you even happier that it's not going to be 10? Are you annoyed it's not going to go bigger? Give us all your thoughts or anything else that you fancy. Now's a good time to call. If you do, we'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here at 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, please. Send us a tweet. Get in touch. Let us know what you're thinking tonight. So many topics ticking away, and if there's scope for you to raise a new one, then I'm happy with that as well. Let's give you your full time teaser for tonight. Comes with a great backstory, this as well. It's from Steve in Manila. You're big in Manila.
Believe that. Manila?
As in
the real Manila.
The Thriller Inn.
Thriller Inn. Who's it? Cassius Clay and Joe Fraser.
Cassius Clay.
Muhammad Ali.
Thanks for a great show, which I listened to on my 5 mile morning walk, and that's exactly the length of the podcast. Try to figure out, does he walk fast then?
5 miles.
Anyway, PS, the show takes me back to Glasgow, although the current 37 degree heat doesn't. So thank you very much to Steve for getting in touch in Manila. Can you name the 8 permanent Scottish Premiership managers who have left their jobs since the start of last year? Can you name the 8 permanent Scottish Premiership managers who have left their jobs since the start of last year? Kettlewell, yes.
Crutchley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take one more guess.
And
or permanent, I was going to say, who was before Neil Warnock? Robson.
Yes, let's leave it there, please. No more for now, because that is 3. You're only looking for 8. And Steve, all the way from Manila, see that email, that electronic mail they've got these days. Steve managed it, fired it up full time at Clyde1.com. So whether it's Manila, Motherwell, somewhere in between, you can send us an email, come up with a question and hear it used in the show. You don't need as exciting a backstory as a 5 mile walk in Manila to work every morning. Just send us the question and we would be happy to use it. Full time at Clyde1.com. Just since we're here, two experienced football men like yourselves, as the phrase goes, Neil Critchley, thoughts?
He came under severe pressure, didn't he, from the Hearts supporters. Saturday, against Dundee certainly didn't help him. You would think that he bought himself a little bit of time with the semi final because people thought they played well and they were a little bit unfortunate, down to 10, then down to 9, but unfortunate not to get to penalty kick situation. Honestly, look, Heart supporters will say it's the right decision. I just think that if you're going to bring in a manager, I think he needs a little bit more time than what was in 6 months?
October. So.
Yeah. I honestly think that people sack managers too quickly now, right? But if you're owner of a club, you're watching your supporters, you know, not pleased, leaving grounds early, you know, it becomes difficult because you then have to make big decisions. You either be brave and say, you know, we brought him in 6 months ago or October because we thought he was the right man, we're going to back him and we're going to see what comes out of it. You look over the city, you look at David Gray, right? Hibs could easily pull the trigger and David Gray. And they had more...
I think that's the problem, though.
A part of
it is. You're looking over the city and seeing how well they're doing.
But also, again, you go back to the analytics. So if they've put all their algorithms in and they've come up with Neil Critchley, and then a few months later, then it kind of... goes against the argument that this is the formula. I've said this many times, going that there is no formula for picking a manager. It's a fit. You fit a club at a certain time. Maybe Neil Critchley just didn't fit. But I usually stick up for managers because you do need a bit more time. There's a number of the things that can impact you, particularly injuries, loss of form to key players or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, that there has been circumstances, but I think they were the second bottom when they took over. They were certainly close to the bottom, and obviously they didn't qualify for the top six. But I think just the last couple of weeks, you know, was pivotal for them. You know, they lost in the semi-final against Aberdeen. They failed to qualify for the top six. When a club that's mirroring with the budget they've got, and by the way, what a job Stevie Robinson's done, but when they finish above Hearts, I think that's when... You know, it starts to, you know, people start to look. And as you mentioned, the success that David Gray has done eventually, because Gordon's 100% right. Most managers with the run he was on at the start of the season would never have lasted. So you've got to give credit to David Gray, but also a bit of credit to the board at Hibs for not being, you know, trigger happy. And credit to him, because he'll be probably one of the managers that's probably in the running for manager of the year now.
On that note, what direction do you think Hearts going? Is Jamestown Analytics going through it all and it's going to be a name we've never heard, or do you look, obviously you could just go along the M8 and see what Stephen Robinson's up to? Does Derek McInnes, you know, those are the obvious ones,
John McGlynn,
under
the
nose. He's been there before
again, yeah.
What can you see transpiring there?
It's a hard one to judge, isn't it? They tried the latter there and obviously it never worked. It was a few months and he was out the door. Do you look at a guy that knows Scottish football? Do you look at a guy that's worked in budgets before and got success? And you're right, along the M8. I heard it the other day. Someone asked me, do you know anything about if we're losing our manager, St Mirren supporter? he's certainly...
Where are you meeting St Mirren supporters?
At a driving range.
No, I think Gordon's right there. I think if you're not looking at Stevie Robertson, you must have your eyes closed. I mean, the job he done at Motherwell, the job he done at St Mirren, with the budgets, he's improved players. I know the recruitment side's different at Hearts, but the recruitment at Motherwell when he was there, the recruitment at St Mirren when he was there has been terrific. He loses good players. He's had a lot of internal situations to deal with this year as well, with players he's had to technically sack to move a number of players, but sometimes you never get one in your career. He's had 3-1 season, I think. So everything, take that everything into consideration, Stevie Robertson must be high up. No one want to annoy all the St Mirren fans, but Hearts, you have to be honest, are a huge club. You know, the fan base, the budget, all these sort of things. And if you're a manager, you want to try and test yourself at the highest level. So I think Stevie Robertson, for me, Gordon, has to be one of the main candidates for that job.
And it feels like the Hearts fans are just having a bad couple of days. The next night, the players are going to their Player of the Year awards. Have you seen the video? The Sky cameras go and the players are getting put on the spot. You know, Lauren Shankland, he's bound to be kind of nervous, I guess. Maybe he doesn't know what to say. So he kind of like smirks almost, and the fans are latching on that. Anne Budge, you've not seen it?
No, I've not seen that one.
I think the Anne Budge one's the one that's really sticking in the... So
old news or something.
So it's the next night. It's Sunday night. He sacked Saturday night. Yeah. The Player of the Year Sunday night. And the reporter says, "You know, Anne, can I get your reaction to sacking Neil Critchley?" And she says, "That's yesterday's news. I'm going in here tonight." Which is quite something.
Yeah, but cutting. Yeah, but I mean, listen, when you're a football manager, you know yourself, and Neil Critchley will know that as well. He's been there. The QPR and that. You know, you're literally once that tie's been cut, that's you. You're gone, forgotten. Let's get the new guy in and make sure we can get forward as a football club, and you can be as committed and as you have as much determination, put as much effort as you want in. But when that axe falls, you just have to move on and deal with it.
Andy's on the line. How are you, Andy?
Hi, good. Not bad. Hi, hi.
Good.
Hi.
What are you thinking tonight?
It was good to see all the partners I was today, but I was saying to Ross, the producer there, I mean, if we're going to have a new manager or not, but we need to get him in now before the end of the season. Really, I think Derek said that as well, because he needs to realise what Rangers are all about, see how they're playing. But I really think after the Celtic game, then get somebody in, hopefully, whether it's going to be Barry or whoever it's going to be, but because we've not got that much time now before we start playing qualifying games.
So I take your point about time, but I wonder if, see this next manager and everything about this ownership and all that, Andy, is it not best that this all just seems like a real clean break? You know, this manager takes, the new manager takes nothing to do with this season, you know, doesn't get involved in any way. Because if he's getting the job, he'll already be, presumably, whoever he is, wherever he is, he'll be taking a look, he'll be analysing things. I think it's better just to keep it clean, do it when this season's finished.
You might be right in saying that the Lord they pick somebody, but we'd like to know if they come out and say, right, we've got somebody coming in and he's going to be looking at Rangers and go, right, this is what I want, this is what I need. But I just feel as if we need somebody in, potential, who's it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that makes sense, Gordon. Every signing you want in as early as possible. If it's a new manager, you certainly want them in. We all know what the calendar looks like, and Rangers will go into European qualification and so on. But as I was saying to Andy, I wonder what you think about just not associating the new manager with this season. For, you know what I mean, for all the kind of disaster that it's been domestically, you just let this one play out. If it isn't Barry Ferguson, you thank him for his time, and yeah, even if it's the next day that he comes in the building.
But I still think that right now there'll be work going on behind the scenes with the new head coach.
And that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't need to be that...
You don't need to announce it.
The new guy's behind the curve somehow if he doesn't officially get appointed.
No, but I think that in principle, you know what like football is now? It's not just a straight case of saying, right, I want a manager, sit down, you want to manage Rangers, X, Y and Z. There's agents, there's third parties, everything involved in it. You've got to be convinced what direction, if you're a top coach, top manager, what direction the club's going, what they're looking to do, what they're looking to achieve, everything like that. You've got to sell yourself to the club, and the club has got to sell the club to the new head coach because they want him that desperately. Then it's a case of looking at sporting directors and everything like that. So I think Rangers have got the ball rolling, and I think there'll be more going on that we don't know about, obviously. I think it was great news for everyone concerned at Rangers today to see the pictures, to see what was happening. So things are moving forward. Listen, I think Rangers fans are just desperate to get everything as quickly as they possibly can. But you've just got to sit there and be patient and let them go and do what they have to do.
What do you think, Jim? Is there any value in a new manager taking the last four, three, two games of the season?
Yeah, I mean, there is value, of course, in terms of just getting to know the players, their personalities. But it's a difficult one to judge when, you know, a big part of Rangers' problem this year, or the last couple of seasons in particular, is the question of their mental toughness. And we know, disrespect, but they don't have to show any mental toughness because they've nothing to play for. It's different, I think, if it was, you know, something really tangible, if they were in the cup final, for talking sake, something like that, you might think, well, look, this will show something about the players. But a manager's come in, the players have, you know, they've got all the pressures off them at this moment in time, in terms of targets and challenges and trophies. So I think it's a difficult one. You know, a manager can come in and, you know, or even in the background and watch them and think, oh, they're all quite good because they're all relaxed. You know, they don't have that pressure of challenging for a title or challenging for a cup. So I think that's difficult. But yeah, I mean, it does get to know the inner sanctum of the club, if you want to call it that. But I do think nowadays, with all the, you know, the information you can get, or the video footage, etc., or the, you know, the information you can get from all the various departments, you can build a reasonable picture up of the players. Again, as we get back to, you know, the new sporting director, you know, how much impact he will have. I would guess he will have a major say on who's coming in. And then after that, you know, before you bring the manager in, they'll know which route they want to go down with recruitment.
You get any idea, Andy, any names, anything that's doing the rounds, any rumours that have caught your eye?
No, I was on last week, and you know, I mean, if Barry got a job again, I would be unhappy, and somebody was saying it was Steven Gerrard. Again, I was sitting on the fence with him, 50-50. But no, we just need somebody to come in and go, right, this is what we need. Because we've been terrible this season.
Andy, what about a Sean Dyche or something like that? Someone who's been down south, who knows, you know, how to manage at the very top level, you know, and it's a bit left field, but would somebody like him, would that be of interest, or do you think that they need some? Do you believe it's they maybe need someone who knows the club more? Like, as in, no. You've said Stevie Gerrard's been there, Barry's there. Would you prefer that or someone completely different?
Again, as you say, Jim, Sean Dyche wouldn't be the worst call in the world, you know what I mean? I mean, because he is a top manager, and he's British. And he understands what football is all about. So I would be put off with that. But I just think, I just wish they would come out and tell us who they've got in mind.
You'll find out the next week or two, no doubt.
And Jim, by the way, thanks again for running the pub, Jai.
All right.
You're a big gentleman. You're a gentleman. All right,
thanks very much.
Running what?
A long time. That was a long time ago. Used to have a pub. And I used to have a pub years ago.
What was it called? The Duff?
JJ's, that's what you just said there.
So JJ's?
JJ, double J. But anyway, it was back in the day.
Blowing back the years,
when I used to work.
I think I knew that,
I used to work behind the bar for a living. Aye, it was all right pub.
Was it your own pub?
Aye.
JJ's? Aye. Why do you not call it JD's?
No, I just didn't. I wouldn't call it Duffy's either. I probably should have just called it Duffy's. It was easier than back in the day. But then
Barman and Bouncer all in one, weren't
they? Oh, yeah.
You're not starting trouble in that place.
I know some did try, because they used to have the boxing on at the Kelvin Hall, and it was just along for the Kelvin Hall. So you had a few characters that would come in from various parts of the city that would chance of arm, should we say. So you had to put the bluff face on at times.
I can imagine, him. He'd be getting involved, wouldn't he?
No, not at all. But it was just that you did that.
The big centre half slide tackle.
No,
all the way
not at
the
all.
Bar.
No, I didn't need to do that.
Never like pull
that.
MD over the bar.
No.
I don't believe that for a second. Anyway, thanks to Andy. How's this teaser going? We're looking for the last eight permanent managers to leave their job from the Scottish Premiership. So sacked, resigned.
Yeah.
departed mutual, whatever they call it. You've got Neil Critchley, Stuart Kettlewell, and Barry Robson.
Come on,
Philip, come on.
Yes.
Stephen Naismith.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll get the rest and more of your calls if you so wish when we return.
Cash for Kids Day on Clyde One.
Right, let me tell you about this, because there can't be many or any people out there who don't fancy a holiday worth up to £5,000 for free whilst donating to Cash for Kids. So we've teamed up with stuarttravel.co.uk. They've donated a £5,000 holiday voucher, and it could be yours. It goes to whatever you want: a luxury escape for two, the adventure of a lifetime, a family break, a holiday package, cruise, whatever you want. We're talking beach resorts, theme parks, cruises, safaris. I'm sure you'd manage a golf holiday or something, Gordon Dale, if you fancied. But anyway, to enter, just text the word WIN to 84901. Now, the text costs your standard network rate plus a voluntary £5 donation, and every penny of that £5 goes to Cash for Kids. So it goes to children in our communities that need your help. You give your £5, you've done your good deed, and you might win the holiday voucher. It is the ultimate win-win. Lines close Thursday 1st of May, 10 a.m. Over 18s only. Full T's and C's at Clyde1.com. Make sure you're in it. Text WIN to 84901.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Coming up at 8, Callum Gallagher.
Come on. Hiya, I'm here after it, guys. I forgot to play my record of the week yesterday, so getting that on for sure. Tonight, Name That Doof was one and done last night. Tonight, I want to know what your predictions are for Sound of the Summer. Come on down here from 8.
Callum Gallagher on Clyde One. Every night from 8. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dale are almost there on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still time. If there's something burning you want to get off your chest, please do so now. 0141 951 1025. Steve in Manila has asked you the question tonight. Can you name the last eight permanent Scottish Premiership managers to leave their position? So Neil Critchley, Philippe Clement, Stuart Kettlewell, Stephen Naismith, Barry Robson. Three to get. I'll take one guess each.
Well, we had I've had a tap in from a really good assist for the man that is.
We never passed it in his entire career, so.
No, this guy here. No, the guy sitting at home, his cardigan, his slippers on.
Oh, honestly.
It's Kevin's.
Butt out, for aye. Goodness sake.
Aye, he's chucked in there.
I'll be
Nick
wrong.
Montgomery.
Yes, Nick
we
Montgomery.
We caught Nick Montgomery before he even come in.
But he did. I have to give credit where it's due.
Keys peace. Was Steve McLean in?
No.
Right. Well, what about Callum Davidson? Is he one?
No. Nope. Before that, I wasn't sure if Lee Johnson was there.
Nope.
No.
Okay, we'll get back
Craig
to
Craig Levine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So there's what is that? Two, one to get. Yeah, one to get. I think. Okay, we'll get it before the end of the show. Not to worry about that at all.
Oh.
Nope. One to get.
Got it.
Nope. Not interested. If you tell me, I'll disregard it completely.
There may be a Stuart's inquiry too.
I haven't heard it. Incidentally, the Glasgow Cup final is on currently. Here's a name. Right, if I was to tell you there's a player who's open to scoring for Rangers, and he's played first team games this season, you would never get it. You forget all about this guy. He's been injured for a long time. And I don't know
Lovelies.
If he was. I don't know if he was. He's not at the club anymore.
Is he not? Oh, he went away. Sorry.
I don't know if he was expected to come back fit and play in this game. But he scored the goal.
Boy Divine.
Casemiro.
Oh, Casemiro. Yeah, he was injured.
God,
exactly. I know you did.
He looked all right.
He looked he got an international duty, didn't he? The injury. So he's open to scoring. Rangers leading Celtic by a goal to nil. So.
Where's that game been played?
Firhill.
For Hill for Thrills.
Wait for Thrills this week, because it's Livingston are playing there, aren't they?
Oh, Livingston.
Can't
at
wait
home.
For Friday night. It's
at
Livy. It's at Livy. Livy and Falkirk are both at home. So Livy, yeah. Thistle, Falkirk, Hamilton. And
Hamilton's appeal is Thursday. So they will know if they are being relegated or if their appeal has been successful.
It's going to be quite something, isn't it?
Oh, do you know, I might take a trip along there, mate.
To Livy?
Yeah, I fancy that. I might just
he's
go.
Your best pal in the
no,
whole
it's
world.
Not to support him, it's just to see his face.
To abuse him.
That?
It's just to see his face if it goes wrong.
How wrong? He's twisted, isn't he?
Oh, that's bad.
I'm fingers crossed for him, you know that, but if the plus for me, if it goes well for him, delight it. If it goes wrong, I like the face.
You must be really torn on this, because if Thistle do it, you're going to have to grudgingly give credit to your partner in crime, yeah. Mark Wilson.
No, I'll take credit. I coached him.
If they miss out and it's Wraith, now you've got two options there. You can start leaning back into the Wraith legend stuff, yeah. Or you start to worry they get promoted and that becomes taking the shine off your achievements there a bit.
No, really, because we get promoted as well. I played in the Premier League with Wraith.
A long time ago though.
Yeah. If Andy catches my goals, that's when I'll start worrying. But there were another 200 still to go for any of them.
You're like the Alan Shearer.
They could put all their goals together and they'll catch
He's been called many things. That is not one of them. Anyway, right, so let's hear a bit more. It was the Young Player shortlist was revealed as well yesterday. Now, naturally, it doesn't get the same headlines as the Player of the Year, but there's big names on this. You know, there can't be many young Scottish players we've discussed as often as Lennon Miller and James Wilson, and then one from each from the big two who are, you know, main players, not as if they're bit part, Arne Engels and Hamza Igaman. Let's hear from Lennon Miller, who says he felt like the world was against him after the reaction to a few wrong words he used in a press conference when he got called up to the Scotland squad, but was pleased with the reaction from his Scotland teammates.
When I found out, I didn't really know what to think, what to do. It was a pretty surreal moment. And then you obviously say a few wrong words and it feels like the world's against you, basically. But no, I feel like everybody that was involved kind of backed me, and no, it was nice to hear a few words from people that have played and the manager and that as well, which probably helped that. And then when you go into the camp, you see all these players and you learn from them. And no, it was a surreal moment to be involved in, and hopefully I'll be back there soon. Obviously the captain Andy was brilliant with that, just saying like not to focus on it, and then you've got your other experienced ones, but Scott McTominay as well was really good with me, kind of took me under his wing, and now just watching him in training as well every day, I've took wee bits from everybody, but he was the main one.
There's a kind of natural bias maybe that I don't mind holding my hands up to here, but astonished that it's still even a thing. This whole, honestly, like, it wasn't a story at the time. How it still is, I'm not really sure.
What I don't like about it is he's a young lad there, and we all know the what he's all about and their talent. And he's sitting there trying to justify. He shouldn't have been in that position. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's judge a boy on his talent. He's a most level-headed guy that you'll see and meet. And all he concentrates is football. He's a brilliant talent. And just let him go and play football and enjoy
it. It's funny because people want footballers to be confident. But when you show or you verbalise a wee bit of confidence, you get slaughtered in football. If you're a boxer and you say you're the best boxer, everybody loves it. But if you're a footballer, everybody slaughters you. So, I mean, it is ridiculous the amount of flack that came his way. And it was good that his teammates, I think it was John McGinn as well, I remember John McGinn gets what and saying, listen, he said, I've said a few dive it in, and he kind of laughed it off. But the fact is, he said there that likes Andy Robertson, likes Scott McTominay, who's probably been through a lot of things, you know, coming through at Manchester United and stuff like that. You know, I think it's great that they gave him that support, and he's a terrific talent, and we should be embracing young Scottish talent, no being so negative towards them. And if the boy has got a bit of confidence, great. You want players with confidence and a wee bit of arrogance and, that type of belief that I'm good enough to play at this level, good enough to be that level. That's what you should be like.
So you get on that young player of the year. I'd be struggling to pick who's got it.
Yeah, it's hard to call. Mm.
Yeah, I really do.
Because as you said earlier, when
they're a case for all.
When the football writers comes around.
It's got to be Scottish.
So I'm not saying it makes it easier, but you know, Lennon Miller would be a big favourite for that one. You would have thought, wouldn't he? Because James Wilson's been good, but maybe in a shorter period. But yeah, once you start throwing Engels and Enigma Man into the mix, it's kind of hard to.
I think that's a difficult one to call.
I know it's you look at it, but I'm a wee bit surprised at Engels, because Engels has did a few really good games, But he said he struggled at times to get, you know, embrace the dynamics of Celtic and how they wanted to play. I think by his own admission, he knew that when he came in at first, he struggled a bit. Then he had a bit of a purple patch. Then he dipped a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think he's there's no doubt there's a talent there. But I don't think I'm quite surprised he's in at that level at this moment in time.
It's such a different profile. Look, it's allowed. It's not his fault, but obviously it's a very different profile. Mm-hmm. Someone who's signed for 11 million, you know, versus a
it's not his thing.
No,
I'm a bit surprised because I just think over the course of the season he's had a lot to learn and a lot in his play. I think next year I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of the main contenders for player of the year.
Nearly out of time. Who are the last 8 permanent Scottish Premiership managers to leave their draw job? Critchley, Clement, Kettlewell, Naismith, Levine, Montgomery, Robson.
I'm going for a guy that got them promoted, but did he manage Gary Burke?
Oh, no.
No.
Dundee? No.
No.
What if I told you he left and rejoined his old team, who were 100 times better than the team that he left up here?
What was that?
Not remember that quote.
Oh yeah, Derek Adams.
Never a good one.
Anyway, thank you very much to Gordon and Jim. Thanks for all your calls, your tweets, and to those of you who just listen quietly and keep us company that way, it's appreciated as always. Back at 6 tomorrow.